The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Now, our world needs around 100 million barrels of oil a day, and three countries dominate things when it comes to determining its price: Saudi Arabia, Russia, and the United States. But recently, the price of oil crashed to a 20-year low. So what factors are driving the price downwards, and will Irish consumers eventually feel it at the pump? Well, I'm joined by the Managing Director of Petrol Resources, David Horgan. David, good morning and welcome.
Thank you.
Now, David, the price of oil, I mean, obviously demand is low now as industrial activity has slowed down due to the COVID-19 disease. But also, even in advance of that global impact economically, there was a row. Explain.
Yeah, everyone assumes that COVID-19 is to blame for everything, but actually the row was initially nothing to do with COVID-19. What happened was that the oil market demand has been growing quite strongly for the last 20 years, really, but the demand growth softened in the middle two quarters of 2019, mainly because of the American-Chinese trade war. And people were expecting higher demand this year. Meanwhile, the American frackers had been increasing their production, not as rapidly as in prior years, but still increasing their production. And the Saudis in particular became concerned that inventories would build rather than decline. So at the recent fairly routine OPEC meeting at the beginning of March, the Saudis put forward a proposal not just to maintain the existing cuts that they had agreed in 2016, but actually to tighten them until inventories began to fall more sharply. Now, the Russians took umbrage at this, largely for reasons that have nothing to do with oil and OPEC, because the Russians would see that they are fighting proxies of the Saudis in Syria, and relationships between the Russians and Sunni Muslims have been difficult for probably 1,000 years. There's all sorts of ego invested on both sides, and the idea that the Russians would fall into line with OPEC instructions and Saudi instructions was simply not acceptable to Vladimir Putin. So the Russians said that they would continue with the existing production levels but not cut further. This then became a major ego row and a Mexican standoff, leading eventually to Russians storming out of a meeting on the 6th of March. Then the Saudis said that we're going to teach you. So they sent all sorts of signals that they're going to dramatically increase their production, which, by the way, they can't at the moment, booking lots of tankers to go to the United States and very aggressively cutting their indicated prices by way more than the increase in production would suggest, basically by $8 to the American market rather than $2, which would be implied by the numbers. And this was all whacking up the chest to show how strong they are. The Russians reverted by saying, well, we have $570 billion in a war chest, and we can outlive this more than you. And that's basically where they stand. So they're both cutting each other, and both are suffering, but there's no sign of them kissing and making up anytime soon.
So are they still producing at a tremendous rate? Because given that the demand has gone down, given that the United States is largely self-sufficient now with the arrival of fracking, what are they doing with all the oil they're pumping?
Well, the interesting thing is if you look at the numbers, and they're now some weeks out of date, but there's no evidence in the numbers of a collapse in demand, which is fascinating because if you look at the last time something like this happened, Lehman Brothers 2008, within 2 weeks we could see a sharp fall in demand. This time round, there's no evidence of a fall in demand. Now, anecdotally, that can't be true because aviation, for example, is 2% of total consumption, and aviation is suffering. But I just say it in passing that in the end, you've got to look at the numbers, and the numbers don't suggest the sort of collapse in demand that everyone is talking about. But what they're doing is the Saudis have increased their production by about 300,000 barrels a day. Now, they're claiming they're going to increase by over 2 million, but they've actually increased by 300. Now, why only 300? Well, because their facilities were attacked and badly damaged. I'm talking about the processing facilities at Abqaiq last September. And while the Saudis are very taciturn about it, what we're hearing from people working on the site is that they've only recovered about half of the capacity that was knocked out in the drone and rocket attack. So they simply don't have the capacity to flood the market at present. The Russians have increased their production somewhat, but again, the numbers are relatively modest. So what you see is a lot of bragging and boasting, but not huge increases in actual supply, and so far, not dramatic falls in demand.
Now, when we hear about the demand not falling particularly significantly, is it possible that there are those who are buying on the cheap and literally paying for storage? Because if you can buy it less than 30 bucks a barrel, and it might be down to 22 bucks a barrel, then of course it has to be refined and all the rest of it. But still, very, very cheap oil. It might be cheaper to buy it and hold it now rather than pay the expected market price when the row is over, maybe in a year's time.
Yeah, and in fact, if you look at the future price, what really strikes you is that the spot price has collapsed by half to basically about $27 today, but the future price is much higher. Basically, it's about $40 if you go to a year, and close to $50 if you go out between 2 and 8 years, which is as far as the market sees into the future. So what the market is saying is that the world may end tomorrow, but it will be fine after a year or so. Now, your behavior you describe is actually quite rational, and American refiners have actually been building stocks through March particularly. The trouble is they'll run out of storage capacity. The total available capacity in the world now is about 1.3 billion barrels of additional storage. And by next January the 1st, at current production levels, the industry will have produced about 1.6. So obviously, there's 300,000 barrels that simply cannot find a home, either on a tanker or in a storage facility. So the only thing you could do with it is, you know, take it to the U.S. and put it back into a hole in the ground, which is a costly endeavor. So people will be forced to cut production if demand falls, whether they want to or not.
So finally, David, for the consumer, and we're talking about home heating oil, we're talking about petrol, we're talking about diesel, we're talking about even gas prices. How long before this historically low, in real terms, oil price is going to help us as consumers?
Well, you've already been helped. You probably don't notice because you're not driving around, Pat, but the average prices of end March in Ireland for petrol has fallen from 144 in January to 127 a litre. Now, that's only a fall of 12%, but remember that most of what you pay at the pump goes to the exchequer, both in VAT and excise duties and carbon taxes and the various levies. And the government pulled a fast one last October when they increased the carbon tax by 2 cents a litre. Now, you can be certain that they will be looking at doing that again. They did this after the last fall from 2008 on, and this is simply too tempting for a politician to resist. So as the petrol price falls, they will look to increase the carbon taxes, and they'll justify it in saving the climate terms as well as revenue terms.
But still, we should see further falls given what's happening internationally.
Well, unless the price collapses from the current level, which is frankly unlikely as an average. It might happen for a day or an hour, but it won't happen as an average. You know, you're only looking at basically another 5% fall in the crude price that has not yet fed through to the petrol pump in Ireland. And that equates to, you know, just under 3% passed through by the petrol station to the consumer. So you're only looking really at another few cents, maybe from 127 to 123 average. So there won't be a further bonanza, and what bonanza there is will probably be taken by the government.
All right. As they do always. David Horgan, Managing Director of Petrol Resources, thank you very much.